the last episode, we spoke about scandals and controversies that involved Australian cricket. In particular, we went into details on the Monkey Gate scandal, which happened in 2008, and the Sandpaper Gate scandal that happened in 2018, and the impact on cricket and Australian cricket in particular post those scandals, and how the media looked at them and at their cricketers. We take this conversation and bring it more closer home and closer to what we are witnessing now, which is the IPL. So the IPL also was shook up in 2013 in this match fixing scandal, which led to the ban of Chennai Super Kings and Rajasthan Royals from the tournament for 2 years. We talk about that, and we get our host Suraj to express his opinion on how that impacted CSK's fan base and how most of the fans rooting for CSK were not following the IPL with as much rigor as they would when CSK plays. And of course, sadly, but that's a reality. Whenever we talk about cricket scandals or controversies, Pakistan cricket is not too far behind. We get into that as well.
Moving ahead of these scandals, I just also want to talk about a couple of scandals which has rocked the neighboring countries, India and Pakistan. So Pakistan, let's say, has had a big history. We both have read Shane Warne's autobiography, No Spin, where he categorically mentions, that 94 match and Salim Malik directly going and asking Shane Warne, to concede the match.
Yes.
The whole fixing scenario, the whole mafia scene being involved in the Pakistani cricket setup was something which was undeniable. I mean, it had been happening all the time. Let's just hope it has at least reduced. But it took its zenith in 2010 when Salman Butt, Mohammad Asif, and Mohammad Amir were involved in it. It was a scandal involving a British sports agent called as Mazhar Majid, who is basically a Pakistani by origin, and then he had involved these players. I think Salman Butt was the captain of the Pakistan team during that time, and he wanted it was all about betting and then involving spot fixing, wherein they asked the fast bowlers. He overdid it and came out, and they got the necessary punishment that they had. But more than the scandal, what I wanted to say that Mohammad Amir, during that time, he had a 5-wicket haul against England in England and the 5-wicket haul against Australia in Australia. So that two in test matches. He was probably the best 17-year-old fast bowler there ever had been in test cricket, maybe along with Wasim Akram. If you want a 17-year-old to be in your team, he was probably the best. And then it completely went off. I mean, age was with him, so he had a lesser term, and then he has come back, but he is never the cricketer he had been, And that, I think, is one of the biggest tragedies which come along with something called the match fixing scandal. The whole career, which was brightening up, had completely become dark because of such a unfortunate tragedy. Another such incident, which I would also say that from a Chennai's perspective and from a CSK fan's point of view, the 2013 scandal, which involved the betting, which finally ended up in Chennai Super Kings being banned for 2 years. I just want to shortly mention what happened. It was, of course, everybody knows, N. Srinivasan's son-in-law, Gurunath Meyyappan, who was involved in a betting scandal, which was unfortunately ended up in Chennai not being able to play for 2 years. And parallelly, there was another scam involving the Rajasthan Royals and the three Indian players, including Srishant, who has famously played in both the finals of the 2007 World Cup final and the 2011 World Cup final. He had been banned, so recently his ban got over, and he is in reckoning to play for Kerala again. Such a scam really tilted up the IPL. But what I would also like to mention is that there have been a lot of politicians who have come in support of N. Srinivasan. So fundamentally, nobody is denying the fact that yes, Gurunath Meyyappan did do the betting. Being a person who is in charge of a team in such a position, he had not been able, it was not right of him. But the fact is, he had lost money for the 2 years which he did betting. 50, 60 lakhs of rupees had been supposedly lost, by Gurunath Meyyappan. So unfortunately, he was not good at, betting that either. So that means he was just involved in betting, and fortunately or unfortunately, there is no spot fixing involved in, also at least being at least as being said by the report which came from the Mudgal Council which were involved, they have completely exonerated the N. Srinivasan, is what it came out. So a few leaders in the government have necessarily mentioned that lot has got to do with, the mafia. N. Srinivasan suddenly came out of the blue. He came extremely strong with Chennai Super Kings, along with Mahendra Singh Dhoni. You have to also note the fact that Dhoni is from Ranchi, is another, small town guy, not like a person from Bombay or Delhi. He's a small town guy, and he fitted beautifully into this Chennai scheme of things. And N. Srinivasan became the BCCI president, and then he went on to become the ICC chairman. I mean, board of director. I mean, not really sure. So he was part of, the heading positions in ICC. He went a long way, and that naturally meant that the center of gravity of cricket in India was slowly moving away from Bombay towards Chennai. That meant that it was going towards south, and probably a few feathers had been ruffled. There have been a lot of, mentions of people in the mafia being involved in that, and then they did not like the, the growth of Srinivasan, and then they targeted him. When the final judgment came for all the scam, they completely exonerated Mr. Srinivasan, as I had mentioned, and the government too said that the PIL, which was filed against Srinivasan, was completely rigged. Cricket, I mean, what I'm saying is that, I just hope that 30 years in time, with all the money involved in cricket, it does not become a, scam like how, let's say, Bollywood, is happening right now. It's a big issue happening in India right now with all the nepotism and the unwanted, situations which are happening with a few individuals in that. And their political stances, which are completely, rigged and one-sided, and it is completely manipulated too. It's a beautiful game, cricket, and I just hope that money does not take over that. So if it does take over, you will have to see, player like, let's take for example, a budding player like Prithvi Shaw, who will get so much money from the IPL. He might be, brought about inside these circles, and he's also not a powerful guy, and then he's in the midst of such powerful people. For a youngster, it is not so hard to, it's not given. I mean, such instances do happen in life and in cricket. It never used to happen in the 70s and the 80s because, cricket was not such a huge source of income, but now with the IPL, with the broadcasting rights, and then the betting and the et cetera, the paraphernalia which is involved, it's almost a 500 crore industry, which is that is what I really feel about the direction of the IPL not going in the greatest positive fashion, but let's hope it comes back. I think we all have seen how emotional MS Dhoni was when he came in 2018 to speak, you know, for the Chennai Super Kings. And you know, he's a very reticent individual, and that was one of the very first times he really, you know, opened his heart, and it really meant, you know, that it really affected him. So, Rakab, I also want to, you know, get some closing comments on your side. And by closing comments, I want you to give the, you know, disadvantages of IPL. So all of us do know the advantage of IPL becoming such a big 500 crore industry. But I just want you to, you know, focus in your opinion. What are the, you know, big disadvantages? Because even, you know, you see cricket.com.au, your Cricket Australia's website is full of IPL. You know, so that's how strong, you know, IPL has become. We are paying them to market our league in their country. So that's how the extent it has grown. So what do you think are the probably the danger sides, I would say, you know, of the growth of IPL?
So there are plenty of them, actually. So starting off with instant fame. So anyone, let's give a example of Mohit Sharma. For a want of a better player, Mohit Sharma had one good season with Chennai Super Kings, and he played for India in the 2015 Cricket World Cup. So instant fame in IPL almost translates to throwing the player into national glory, and that is not right. If it's only for T20 team, I'm fine and good. You can pick them, because IPL is after all a 2020 tournament, so you need to look at that. But when you see, let's say, even I would say Ravindra Jadeja earlier on, not now, last 1-2 years is improved as a overall all-rounder, but earlier on in 2015, he didn't deserve to play test cricket. So that is one big worry I have with IPL, within it being such a money-making business and it dominating world cricket almost as we speak, because they can pull in 8 franchises, get in all the support staff, create a biosecure bubble in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Why can't you go ahead and contend the World T20? In Australia. So IPL is that big. So it's a little bit worrying, actually, because it's after this 2-month T20 carnival. So you have to just enjoy the game, but it's much more vicious than that. So 1, 3, 4 dangers or this advantages from my personal perspective as an analyst is instant fame. So people who are not exactly meant for the big scene get catapulted into national fame. Second is the money involved. So that changes people. So there are many people who stay grounded and humble even after the money, but many people's career gets ruined after the money. Third is this fascination, as I brought up earlier, fascination for picking players to perform in IPL. In your one-day team, test team, that's not going to help anybody. It has helped players improve their game overall. If you look at England, Jos Buttler, Jason Roy, Ben Stokes, I think Jofra Archer as well have openly admitted how IPL and the exposure has improved them as a cricketer overall. So that is for sure. It is going to improve your skill set, playing under pressure, playing with a diverse set of people, because you're basically 1 in 4 foreigners in a playing 11. So you need to be at your best to be picked in the team. So you can't have an off season and be expected to be picked in your side. So that way it makes them up their game as well. So that is one positive. But the negative is when you have even a Jofra Archer, if you have to put it, he hasn't had a great test career, to be fair. He has 1 or 2 spells which stand out. So apart from that, if you look at his 6 games in the biosecure bubble, one of which he couldn't take
part of due to his own foolishness when he went out of the bubble. But five test matches, he looked far cry from your next big thing which Indian cricket needs in test cricket. But that's the harsh reality now. What you do in IPL or T20 cricket automatically catapults you to test team. You have Ben Stokes, you have a Jasprit Bumrah who has proven this theory wrong. But there are not very few players in the world who have done it. So that is the thing. And the final cog to all this is, how are these players managed? So I mean not the coaches of the IPL team generally. So you have images being built just by one good knock in the IPL or 2-3 great games, which is little bit worrying, because there is lot of hatred and this fan loyalty which is growing by the day on about the IPL is actually skewing already damaged Indian media, as I brought it up earlier. Even more. Look at it. People are making smallest of small. Like I will say, let's say Shubman Gill, extremely talented player, extremely gifted from what I have watched him in domestic circuit, even in the IPL. But he hasn't proven anything of substance to India. But they're calling him the next Kohli, the next, what they call, for number two, but number four batsman for the Indian team. We need to groom him from the next World Cup. Do that first. Don't give him names. Don't damage a cricketer's perspective and how he prepares before he actually does that. So you build up a player so much and then you put unimaginable pressure on the bloke. He has been compared to Virat Kohli. It's not right. You have to let Shubman Gill be Shubman Gill. I'm sure he'll come out good in this season of the IPL. But I'm just giving one example where IPL does this to you. They just make something into something huge, a scandal. Simple as that. Make anything into a scandal. Or make that for 2 minutes of fame or 230 seconds of fame or whatever. Just blow out something. Like classic example is when we are discussing on our previous episode on the IPL, on the build up to the IPL, where how they blew up Suresh Raina and MSD's bond. I mean, this can't get worse than that, if you ask me. And you know why my respect for Indian section of sports media has gone down. When you look at how they have painted Suresh Raina's personal issues into a hotel issue. For Christ's sake, you can think of a slightly more believable reason. Hotel was not matching what Dhoni has. Wow, amazing. For a batsman who has missed one game in the last 10 years for your franchise, who has got more than 5,200 runs, you quote-unquote, you bring in Srinivasan into the picture. And I don't want to mention the website which bought up the article, but I don't rate them highly anyway. But anyways, the point is, just be more, what do you call, have some common sense. Suresh Raina is the life and breath of Chennai Super Kings. He is equivalent to Dhoni. I think Dhoni will himself admit, even you will admit, as a big CSK fan, that Suresh Raina is critical as Dhoni is for Chennai Super Kings' fortunes. So you cannot do that. You cannot tarnish a player's image. He has his own reasons for not being part of the IPL. He knows he's going to lose out on 3 crores, 5 crores, whatever Suresh Raina's value. But money isn't everything. And that's how I want to end this episode. Money isn't everything. Cricket is a beautiful game. Let money not override that. And I don't have much to say about Bollywood as such, because I seriously have lost complete interest in that industry. And I do listen to the songs, of course. I'm not completely detached from it completely. I may get detached soon, but I don't think we should even compare cricket in a joking manner to a scam or a sham which is what Bollywood is at the end of the day. So it's not go there, but I get your point when you say that it's moving towards that thing where money is overpowering everything, where drugs and other things are being talked about more than the actual cricketing action. So I completely agree that's not happened. And I hope that there have been a lot of people who are waiting for cricket. And astonishingly, they go ahead and tweet things like, cricket is back. Like, cricket was back in June. So get your facts right first. Cricket was back in June. England had an extremely successful and well-conducted summer in these tough times. So cricket is not back. IPL is back. Yes, Indian cricket is back. No doubt. So get that right. Get the facts right. And I am also hopeful that there has been this cleaning up act which happened in Australian scene. They have come out a better side. And I think from what we saw on the show, the test, I think impression from at least Indian fan point of view or a cricket fan point of view of Australia may have changed a bit. I don't expect it to change overnight. But as you said, what comes back goes, what has been given to them will come back to them. So that's a fair enough argument there. So, but overall, that was, I think, required when the ban was imposed on Chennai and Radisson. Hopefully, we don't get to hear of any more scandal. Unfortunately, Pakistan keeps throwing up a scandal here and there. But hopefully, let's hope, as somebody, as people who really look up to the sport, than just 3 hours of entertainment or 5 days of entertainment. It's much more personal for people like us. So we hold it close to our hearts. And I think I want to end it by saying that money is not everything. And if money was the only driving force, then you wouldn't get to witness some of the best cricket action which happens in the test match format, which apparently doesn't bring in that much money into the game, sadly, anymore. So on that note, I would say we have the IPL going on. I think let's hope we don't hear of any scandal and just have a completely smooth 2 months of good cricketing action, which will speak louder than all these scandals and scams and all the things which tarnish this beautiful game. Because cricket is a beautiful game and it will continue to be so. Hopefully it stays away from these scams. And IPL has a big part to play in that. Let's hope that nothing unwanted happens in the next 2 months. So that's all I have to
wonderfully,
say.
Wonderfully rounded up, Rahul. I wish the same. I do hope that we have a fantastic 2 months of cricket. You know, we had a great as we are speaking, we had a fantastic opener yesterday, and then CSK, you know, winning in normal fashion. And I think such beautiful games do fill up our next 2 months, and then we can, you know, normalcy resumes, not just in terms of cricket and not just in terms of cricket, but in terms of our lives too, which have been, you know, affected due to really unforeseen circumstances. Well, that's all we have time for today in today's vlog. It's been fantastic, you know, discussing all this, let's say, a very, very controversial topics and very, very, you know, funny instances, you know, that has happened in cricket, which we wish do not happen again. Thank you so much, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you so much.